everyone. This is Yvette Hampton. Welcome back to the Schoolhouse Rocked podcast. I am so glad you are back with me, and I am so excited about my guest this week. You guys know who she is, I'm sure. Ginger Hubbard. She is such a good friend of mine. We love Gingy. That's her nickname in our family. We call her Gingy, and she's amazing. And I'm so excited to have her with me this week. I saw quite some time ago, she had done an interview with someone else talking about parenting mistakes that we make. And I was like, oh, I want to talk about that on the Schoolhouse Rocked podcast because, you know, I don't know, 18 years into parenting, I can look back and I can look at a lot of mistakes that I have made and things I would do differently. And so Ginger is here to help, especially with you younger moms who maybe you're still trying to figure out this parenting thing and you want to have as few regrets as possible. Ginger's your girl. She's here to help you have as few regrets as possible. So I am very excited to have her with me this week to talk about parenting. Before we get into introducing Ginger and talking on this topic, I want to say thank you to our sponsor, BJU Press Homeschool. If you are looking for any subject, any grade, they have something for you. They will equip you for a successful homeschool journey. That's really what we're all looking for, right? We want to succeed in our journey of homeschooling. They've got curriculum for everything, and they will give you the tools that you need to be rooted in a solid biblical foundation and to root your kids in that solid biblical foundation. They have trustworthy resources that will support your goals for your children and whatever your style of teaching is. So whether you're independent or you want parent-led, whatever works best for your family, they've got something for you and they will do it with a solid biblical worldview. So check them out at bjupresshomeschool.com, bjupresshomeschool.com. Also, thank you so much for those of you who continue to support the Schoolhouse Rocked podcast. We are so very grateful for you. We love this ministry. It is our full-time ministry as a family, and we could not, I can't think of anything I would rather be doing other than raising my kids and being a wife and a mom. That's my first most important job. But I love what I get to do. I love this podcast. I love being able to hear from you. I love being able to encourage you. And so we are thankful for those who continue to support the ministry so that we can continue doing this alongside of you and you alongside of us. So if you would like to support the podcast, there are a few ways you can do that. One, you can support us financially. You could go to our website, schoolhouserocked.com, click on that donate button, and you can do a one-time donation or a monthly donation, whatever is best for you. Also, if you're watching this on YouTube, if you would like and subscribe to this channel, that would be so helpful. And then share it with your friends. That is a really big deal. And that really does help us to get the word out about the podcast. So thank you for supporting us in those ways. Well, Gingy, for those who are not familiar with Ginger Hubbard, introduce yourself to us. Tell us a little bit about you and your family and your ministry and what you do.
Sure. Well, I started writing books, I guess, in 2020. I was homeschooling my two kids who were very young at the time, and I wanted to be the best parent I could be. So I read lots of parenting books and got involved in a mom's group, and just some of the things that I was learning and implementing, I started writing about. And that's where I got started. So today I've got two kids that are adult kids, and I've got two stepsons, and just speak at parenting conferences. I have a parenting podcast, Parenting with Ginger Hubbard, where we're all about helping parents reach past the outward behavior of their kids and really learn how to address the issues of the heart and raise them from a biblical standpoint. And really, we're very passionate about helping parents move past the frustrations of not knowing how to, for parents that don't know how to handle these issues, we want to help them move into a confident, biblical, and heart-oriented approach to raising their kids. So those things keep me busy, even parenting adult kids. They're in and out all the time. And then the podcast, and then I speak all over the country on biblical parenting at parenting conferences and churches and homeschool conventions. So between all of those things, I stay pretty busy these days.
Yeah. Okay. Now you said, you're so funny, because you said I started writing in 2020. You said 2020. You didn't start writing in 2020.
No.
That
2000.
Was like only 4 years ago.
2000. In the year 2000. 2020. Oh, yeah. Thank you. Yeah. I've only been doing, I have like all this experience in what?
She started writing books a long time ago. Like 24 years ago, to be exact. Yeah, not 4 years ago.
Exactly. Thank you for catching that.
Yeah. Oh, you're such a crack up. You know, your book, Don't Make Me Count to Three, was one of the very first parenting books I ever read. And I actually read it I think I read it before Brooklyn was born. I may have read it when she was a baby. I can't remember, but that book had such a just great impact on my life. And it was the first book that really helped me to start understanding what parenting is. And you talked about, you know, talking with parents who maybe don't know how to deal with these certain issues. And I think that sometimes we assume, well, if you're a parent, you know how to parent. Mm-hmm. Well, just because you can give birth does not mean you actually know how to be a good parent. And we all make mistakes. We're all sinful. But parenting is so intentional, and we have to be intentional in how we parent our children, and especially if we're wanting to parent them biblically and point them to Jesus. It does not just happen by accident. And so I'm grateful for your ministry and for your experience that you have in teaching me and in teaching so many others how to parent effectively and how to lead our kids to Jesus. And so this week, like I said, we're going to talk about some parenting mistakes that we make. I know I can look back for sure and look at some of the decisions I've made and like, oh, I wish I hadn't done that. Even still, I still do things. I'm like, oh, why did I say that? Or why did I make that decision? Mm-hmm. And that's the reality, you know, of being a parent. So
that's right.
No need to
None
beat ourselves
None of us are perfect.
Up.
We're all going to blow it sometimes.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, it's so funny. One of your more recent episodes, it was a few months ago, you had both of your kids on your podcast, your adult kids. Mm-hmm. And it was so sweet and funny hearing from them as they were reflecting on their childhood and like, what are some of the things your mom did right? And what are some of the things your mom might have done differently? And it was really fun to hear from them. But really what I heard from their hearts was that you were so intentional in your parenting and that they grew up knowing that you loved them so much and that you really did care for their hearts and their souls. And I appreciated that so much. Hearing that, and I know you didn't pay them to say that. I mean, that's truly what they
no,
are
I was,
grateful
I was
for.
Scared to death of what they might say. I was definitely sitting in the hot seat thinking, am I really doing this? Am I really recording a podcast with my kids where they can tell what they're going to do differently with their kids? And it was a very vulnerable position for me to be in. But I appreciated their honesty and everything that they said. They did appreciate a lot of those things. But they also talked about some things that they'll do differently, some of the things that they wished I would have done better. And so that's okay. So that was a great episode.
Yeah, that was a great episode. We'll put a link to that and we'll put a link to Ginger's podcast in our show notes as well. But as you have looked back on the past 20 years of writing about parenting and you've been speaking on parenting and you've been a parent for a long time, what are some of the discipline mistakes that you have seen parents make that you're just like, no, you know, you're in the grocery store and you see a mama doing something and you're like, please stop doing that. It's not the right way to handle that situation. So what are some of the things that you've seen that are mistakes that we are making as parents?
Well, actually, Yvette, I could go through about six of those mistakes that I've seen. And I have to be honest, it's not just mistakes I've seen other people make. Even though I totally knew better, I found myself making some of those same mistakes. You know, I think the first thing that we need to think about is why are these parenting mistakes happening? Why are parents using some of these faulty child training methods? Because there's just so many of those faulty training methods out there. And what I've discovered to be the common denominator in all of them is an emphasis on a behavioral change instead of a heart change. Hmm. But we need to remember that our goal is not just to get our children to outwardly comply, but to really reach their hearts with the gospel of Christ. And when we adopt these popular but deceptive parenting philosophies and methods that the world offers, where the goal really is just for behavior modification, we miss the issues of the heart and the whole purpose of biblical discipline.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's part of the problem as to why parents are kind of missing the boat there. Our whole purpose in disciplining and training our children is to help them understand that their sinful behavior stems from a sinful heart. And the only cure for a sinful heart is Jesus.
Right.
So when we depend on those worldly methods for disciplining our kids that fail to expose the heart issues that drive that outward behavior, we really miss the opportunity to point them to their need for Jesus, who is their only hope for real change. So I would love to identify specifically some of these discipline mistakes that parents are making, because a lot of people don't even realize the problems behind those mistakes and why there are better ways to parent.
Yeah, it's true. And then we're pulling our hair out going, why won't they behave? Why won't they respond to me the way that I want them to respond? And and oftentimes don't realize that it's the way that we are handling the situation that's causing them to respond or not respond in a way that is appropriate. So we're going to get into those, but first we're going to take a break. We'll be right back. Have you tried CTC math yet with your child? Here's a testimonial from another happy homeschool mom. Amber said, "I'm absolutely thrilled with CTC Math. It's a rare find that I've used with my children for more than 5 years now. I have 6 children using CTC Math, and each child has found it easy to navigate and very applicable. Thank you so much for all that you are doing in providing quality math lessons for my children." If you're looking for a great online math program, visit ctcmath.com. That's ctcmath.com. Are you looking for a homeschool curriculum that goes beyond textbooks and truly engages your children in the joy of learning? Apologia's award-winning curriculum is written by homeschool parents to specifically meet your needs and captivate your students with hands-on activities and experiments that make learning unforgettable. With an easy-to-follow, open-and-go format, Apologia takes the stress out of planning and provides a simple roadmap that can easily be tailored to your family's needs. Explore live classes or self-paced courses designed to accommodate every student's unique learning style. Elevate your child's education, spark their curiosity, and nurture a lifelong love for learning with Apologia. Discover Apologia today at apologia.com. We are back with Ginger. All right, let's jump into it. Let's jump into some of these parenting. You said you have 6 specific mistakes. So let's just kind of walk through those one at a time and talk through them.
All right. So I think one of the most common discipline mistakes that parents make that just really fails to reach the heart is probably one of the easiest traps to fall into, and that is bribing. It is so tempting for us to say something like, especially when we're on the way to the grocery store and we know about what's about to happen, what's about to go down here. And so we say, you know, something like, "Honey, if you obey mom in the grocery store today, I'll give you some candy." And so that is what I mean by a bribe. I observed this mom in Walmart telling her 3-year-old to come to her, and the child just ignored what her mom was saying and took off running in the other direction. And so in desperation, this mom yells down the aisle, you know, "Come to mommy and I'll give you a sucker." And immediately the child goes from hearing impaired to exceptional hearing and comes very quickly to mom's side. But you see, this is not training the child in obedience. If you think about it, Yvette, this is actually rewarding the child for stubbornness. Mm. Giving them a reward in order to get them to obey, that encourages them in selfishness.
Right.
Because their motive for obeying is, yeah, sure, I'll obey for what I can get out of it. And that's a selfish motive. Children should be taught to obey because it's right and because it pleases God, not to get a reward.
Right. Yeah. Though saying that to a 3-year-old, you know, "I want you to obey because it pleases the Lord," they're going to be like, yeah. And, you know, like they can't quite process that. Mm-hmm. And so what should that look like on the other end? It's funny, as you're talking about being in Walmart, I remember one time specifically, we were in Costco. This was when Brooklyn was really little. She was probably maybe 3 or 4. And I had a basket full of stuff and I was getting ready to go to the checkout. And I don't even remember what she did, but she did something that, you know, she just was out of control. And she was not typically my out of control kid, especially in public. But this one time she was just throwing a fit about something. And so, you know, I tried in the store, you know, "Okay, you need to calm down. You need to obey, blah, blah, blah." And she wasn't doing it. So I had to leave my grocery cart, like sitting where it was, and go out to the car and deal with her in the car and until she could calm down. And then we went back into the grocery store, back into Costco. And again, it happened. This happened like 3 times. And finally, it was like the 3rd time where she was like, "Okay, I'm not going to win this." And I'm not saying I did that perfectly every time. Oh, I've got some stories of times that I didn't. But it's so hard. And so how do we deal with that when we don't want to bribe them, but we need to get them to comply, but they're still so young? You know, you can reason a little bit better with an older child.
Right.
But for little ones, they understand, here's a sucker if you'll do what I want you to do.
Right. But again, we don't want them to obey because of what they're going to get out of it. The scripture says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right." This pleases the Lord is what that verse says. So that's what we want their motive to be. But you're right. A 3-year-old is we can't explain all of that to a 3-year-old. Their vocabulary, they're just not, their comprehension level, they're just not at a stage where they can understand that. So really with a 3-year-old, everything is going to boil down to either obeying or disobeying. There can't be these long, drawn-out dialogues. So consistency is key. Instead of bribing them, talk about it when you go in the store before you go in. You know, honey, are you allowed to grab things off the shelf? They could say no. Are you allowed to scream? No. You could just go over those things in the grocery before you go to the store with them so that they know what to expect. Just two or three very simple questions.
Sure.
And then you want to keep everything at either obeying or disobeying when they're that young. So, and you need to be consistent, because if you're enforcing one standard at home and a completely different standard when you're out in public, what does that tell them?
Right.
It tells them that they can get away with whatever they want to, and the standard is different, right, depending on where they are. But the standard for obedience should be the same whether they're at home, the grocery store, the park, or even at grandma's house. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so that's what's important. So Yvette, I also love that you talked about how you were willing to be consistent and teach your children that your word is to be obeyed regardless of where they are, that there are consequences for disobedience regardless of where they are. And so I did the same thing. There, I can't tell you, you know, how many times, especially with one of my kids, one of them, it only took one time of leaving a full cart of groceries in the grocery store. But my other one, it took several. And so, but I was willing to do that, just like you, to leave that full cart of groceries, to leave that hot food that just got delivered to the table, mm-hmm, and tell the clerk or the server, you know, I'll be back in just a minute. I've got to handle something. Yeah. And then you do that. You respect them. You let them know you'll be back. And then I went to the car, and I do highly recommend driving to the back of the parking lot. And so you got a little privacy there, and then deal with that. And that teaches our children that our word is our word, that what we mean, what we say is what we mean, and that we're requiring this expectation for obedience because that is what God has called us to do, and God has called them to obey, and we love them. So we want to teach them to live wisely and not foolishly.
Yeah. I think that oftentimes we have this idea that our kids don't understand maybe what we're asking of them. And like you said, you know, when you offer them the thing that they want, all of a sudden they have amazing hearing and they understand perfectly. And kids are so smart. They are so smart. They really do understand. If they're old enough to be defiant, they are old enough to have some kind of understanding of what it is you're asking of them, and to understand that their defiance cannot be rewarded. And so that's tough though. And it's so hard when you're in public.
Yes, it is.
You feel like all eyes are on you, and people are, even if they're not, but you feel like everyone's like, all right, what's mama going to do now? How is she going to handle this particular situation?
They're going to put that toe on the line. That's right. But, and it's also a matter of inconvenience for us.
Yeah.
You know, it's inconvenient for us to leave our groceries and to go deal with that because we're ready to get home and get the groceries put up and get on to something else.
Right.
It's inconvenient for us to go out to eat at a restaurant and our kids start throwing a fit or disobeying and being defiant. And we have to leave our hot food on the table to go get in the car and deal with that. Right. But even in the, and that's also when we're tempted to parent in anger.
Yeah.
But the way that we parent also should not look different, right, even when we're inconvenienced.
Yeah.
And so we need to be willing to inconvenience ourselves and parent consistently, gently, and with self-control and love ourselves. You know, if we're not modeling self-control, how can we expect to teach our children to have self-control? Yeah. So, you know, we have to think about all of those things and really put forth the effort to be consistent and to demonstrate the fruit of the Spirit as we're being consistent.
So as we're, you know, I just want to park really quickly on the whole topic of using self-control and not parenting in anger, because I know, you know, that blood starts boiling and you just, oh, it's so frustrating, whether you're at home or in public or whatever, when your child is disobeying and they are in straight up defiance, it can be so upsetting. So maybe walk through just a very quick scenario. Let's go back to that scenario of, you know, you tell the child, come to mom, you're in the grocery store and they're running the opposite direction. How would you, instead of saying, but I'll give you a sucker, you know, I'll buy you candy, I'll reward you in some way, how would you handle that in a way that is appropriate? And I understand, you know, maybe leaving the cart and taking them to the store, but what would be your first action?
I would catch up with the child and bend down, get eye to eye, because we want to take time to make sure that they're understanding what we say, and just say, honey, I told you to come to me and you didn't. Mm-hmm. Are you obeying or are you disobeying?
Yeah.
And a three-year-old, you know, may clam up and not answer, and that's okay. Don't get into a power struggle to answer for them. You disobeyed. When I tell you to come to me and you don't, that's disobeying. And then something that I started teaching my kids at a very young age is how does God want you to obey? And even when they're 2 and 3 years old, they may not be ready to respond to that yet, but it's never too young. They're never too young to start teaching them what biblical obedience is. So I would say, how does God want you to obey? And if they were too young to answer, I would answer for them. But it didn't take very long of me answering for them that they learned to answer it themselves. And they would say, all the way, right away, and with a happy heart. And that's teaching them what biblical obedience looks like.
Yeah.
And so we just want to have very short conversations. Now, if they're not verbal yet, say that they're not a verbal 3 year old, or they're even two, and then you can't really ask so many heart probing questions, right. But you just want to keep everything at obeying and disobeying. Sweetheart, I told you to come and you didn't. That's disobeying. And so you need to obey. That's what I would tell my really, really young kids when they were doing something wrong. I would keep it very, very simple and say, no. You need to obey regardless of what they were doing.
Yeah.
I remember the first time Wesley disobeyed. He was still in diapers. He was crawling. So he definitely wasn't verbal yet. And he kept crawling over. He was playing with toys in the living room and he kept crawling over to the electrical outlet. Oh. And I had the little safety thing in it, but he kept trying to mess with it. So he's only crawling. He's very little. And so I just went over and moved his hand and I said, no, you need to obey. And so I moved him back over to his toys and you could tell that he understood immediately what that meant, the word obey at that time. That's when he first learned it and he didn't like that word. So he crawled right back over there to the outlet and I did the same thing over. No, you need to obey. And then in that instance, he was going to keep on doing that and it was going to be a power struggle all day. So I removed the temptation from him. I put him in his bed, in his room, in his play or his playpen. But we don't want to get into power struggles with them either. So when we're in situations with the littles like that, where we can remove them from the power struggle, then we can do that too.
Yeah. Oh, power struggles are hard because depending on the age of the child, they eventually get to that age where it's almost like they want that power struggle because they want to prove that they're going to be able to get their way.
Yeah.
And that they're going to win. And that's when mom and dad are like, nope, we're still the mom. We're still the dad. And you are not going to win this. Right. We've said that to our girls many times. You're not going to win. So why even keep trying?
Right.
We have so much more to talk about. More mistakes that we are making as parents or that some of us are making as parents. And Ginger is here to help us out of these mistakes. So we're going to continue talking about this. We're out of time for today, but we'll be back on Wednesday to talk about some of the other mistakes that we make as parents and how to remedy those mistakes and how to have just a God-honoring family, how to point our kids to Jesus. So Ginger, thank you so much for being with me. Tell our listeners where they can find out more about you, your books, your podcast, your speaking, all the fun things you have going on.
They can find out all of those things at gingerhubbard.com. And the podcast, wherever they listen to podcasts, is Parenting with Ginger Hubbard.
It is the best, hands down, parenting podcast on the market. And guess what? It's free for you guys to listen to. So I listen to it all the time and it's fantastic. Ginger and her co-host, Katie, do such a good job. And I love it. You always have such just sound biblical wisdom that you offer. And so I love that you answer all the parenting questions, whether it's from itty bitties to those teen years, you tackle all of them through a biblical lens. So thank you so much for your ministry. We'll put those links in the show notes. Thank you guys so much for listening. We love you so much. Stay tuned to the very end to hear a clip of what's coming up next on the podcast. And we will see you back here on Wednesday. Bye.
If we issue half-hearted commands to our children and we don't require them to follow through, we send mixed signals. And that can even cause our children to question their own positions in the family because they become uncertain of when and how to respond to our instructions. So we want to strive to lead our children with confidence so that they can find security and stability in their call to obedience. When we give our children clear boundaries, they have the freedom to choose if they're going to obey, which is going to lead to blessings, and if they're going to disobey, which is going to lead to consequences. So really, with boundaries come freedom.